Hey, thanks for being here this morning. Nice to have you here as we continue our series on prayer this morning. You know, there's certain labels and certain names that none of us ever want to have attached to us. None of us would ever want to be called a liar. None of us would ever want to be known as a liar. Imagine if people would say of you, you know, you can't trust anything that he says or she says. You know, their word is not any good. There's just nothing that they're going to say that you can absolutely trust. None of us would want that kind of label placed upon us. Another label that we would never want placed upon us is the label of loser. You know, have you ever said to somebody, why are you dating that person? You know, you've never said that, right? Okay. Or have you, better yet, have you just looked back and said, what is she doing with, or what is he doing? Have you ever, you know, right? No one would ever want to have that kind of label of loser. But we hear it very often, don't we? Another label that we wouldn't want attached to us is the label of quitter. None of us would want to be known that when the going gets tough, we just back out. Or when things become important, or when things become tense, or things, you know, when people are counting on us, or people really need us, and we have to put our nose to the grindstone, imagine if somebody called us a quitter, and that we just gave up. And no one could ever depend on us, no one could ever rely on us, and every time something got us to a place where people really needed us, that we were nowhere to be found. Imagine. Now, those labels aside, and talking about quitters aside, there's one time that I think many of us, if we're brutally honest, that we quit too easily in, is the area of prayer. Yeah, I know, Peter. Yeah, absolutely. I'm upset about it too. But this whole idea of prayer and becoming a quitter in prayer, most of us probably understand that time in our lives we just gave up praying. There's something about praying to God and not getting an answer that causes us to kind of stop, right? Or say, I don't need to pray about this anymore. I don't have to pray about this anymore. There's times in our lives where we just say, you know what? God is all powerful. God is all seeing. God's heard the prayer. That should be enough. I should just leave it with God, and I should just, you know, trust that he's going to take care of it. That I don't need to keep going to God. I don't need to keep asking him. I don't need to keep, you know, pestering God. How many of us today, right here, right now, have stopped praying about a situation and we know that we probably should continue? How many of us have stopped praying for someone in our family because we didn't get the result we wanted? Or how many of us stop praying about a situation in one of our relationships or at work? And we stop praying because, as far as we could tell, God was doing nothing about it. How many of us have done that? How many of us doubt that God even cares? So why should I even bother continuing to pray? Now, I'll tell you, As a pastor, I get people, you know, when we get on the subject of prayer, people want to know what time of the day, what's the posture of prayer, is there a model to pray, all of this stuff. But, you know, the more I read the Bible, the more I read Scripture, the more that I understand or come to this place of learning about prayer, I'm finding that the things that usually concern us are not necessarily the things that concern Jesus. They're not necessarily the things that Jesus was really concerned about when he tried to teach his disciples about praying. That there was a number of very important things. And here's the deal with prayer. Here's the deal with prayer. When it comes to prayer, we just simply look at the circumstance or the situation that we're praying about. But when it comes to prayer and when it comes to God, there is always far more at stake than the situation and the circumstance that we're looking at. Always much more at stake. No matter how difficult the situation, no matter how hard the situation, no matter how much it's deep inside you that you want God to answer, there is always, from God's perspective, much more at stake than the situation or the circumstance that you are praying to God about. So we're going to look at a story today. And what's really neat is we're doing a three-part series on prayer. Last week was International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. But the next 2 weeks, as we close out this series on prayer, we're going to look at two parables that Jesus told about prayer. And we just finished the series on parables. So here are two stories that Jesus told about prayer. And if you're in the parable series, you know how important stories were to Jesus to get a point across about some very important things. So here we are in Luke, and we're going to begin at chapter 18, verse 1. And I want to just read this opening verse. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. Okay? Now, I don't know about you, but some people would say, wait a minute. Isn't it just enough for Jesus to say, don't ever give up. Just keep praying all the time. Why would Jesus have to tell a story? Isn't it just enough for Jesus to say, you know what? You should pray and never give up. Isn't it kind of neat that Jesus feels like he needs to tell the disciples a story in order to reinforce it, in order to get it across, in order to make it memorable for them? You know what? I get told a number of times, I'm going to rant. Can I rant? Okay. I get told all the time by people in the congregation, don't tell us stories. We just want the biblical truth. You know, I get told that, right? And I kind of wonder, what Bible are you reading? You know? Anyway, that's my rant. I'm done. Okay? But here's Jesus wanting to tell his disciples this story. And this phrase here, never give up, is actually in the Greek, is don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. And don't revert to a practice that is not going to be very helpful. And the root of the Greek word here is to act badly. And which I find really interesting. Don't give up is giving up is to act badly when it comes to prayer. It is not trusting God enough. It is not. It is like cutting the entire situation off, and not pursuing God in a very diligent manner. When it comes to the thing that's most on your heart, here's another thing I've learned over the years. If there's something really dear and near to you that's very important to you, and you don't get the answer you want, those are the things that you tend to stop asking God for. And yet, if you were to ask, you know, yourself, what is the most important thing you want God to change in your life? It will be that. And often you say, but why did you give up praying? Why did you give up asking God? Why did you stop going to him? Because if God doesn't answer it the way you want it, it's going to hurt too much, isn't it? And if it hurts too much, why am I going to bother praying about it? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that really what underlies a lot of the reason why we stop? Okay, so let's keep reading. All right? So here's the story that Jesus tells his disciples. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. The judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. Can you imagine a man ever saying that about a woman? Imagine. Is that even possible? But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Okay? Now, let's unpack this a little bit, okay? Because this is really, really important. The parable that Jesus tells has two opposing forces, right? Okay, this widow. Now, what we know in that culture, in that day and age, if she was a widow, she has no brother, she has no father, she has no nephew, she has no male in her life that is able to care for her. Culturally, that's what that means, that there is no male in her life that's able to take care of her. The judge, in other words, is one of the leading authorities and power brokers of the culture and of the time. You know, she has no recourse. We don't even know what it is that she's had to go to trial about. We have no idea because here's why we have no idea, because it's not important. No matter what the situation is that brings her before this judge, it is absolutely not important at all. It's a situation. In fact, what is presented here by Jesus is that this is an absolutely hopeless situation for the woman. She has no other recourse but to go in front of this judge and try to get whatever injustice has been done to her fixed. Whatever it is. Now, twice in this passage, very interesting, Jesus says that the judge doesn't fear God or doesn't care about people. Twice we are told that. Now, why is that important? Why is that important? See, the woman has only two options when it comes to coming before this judge, culturally speaking. She can say to the judge, listen, give me justice, because if you believe in God, if you believe that there's a higher authority than you, if you believe that there is a justice that God has orchestrated and God demands of you as a representative of God, you need to give me justice, because you need to be a person that fears God and fears the justice of God. But he doesn't care about God. Her other argument would be, well, listen, don't you care about another human being? I'm the most weak individual that this culture has. I have no other recourse. Don't you care about another human being? Don't you have any compassion? Don't you have any mercy? Don't you have a heart at all? But both arguments, both courses of action that she has to kind of put logic into this guy's, you know, place for justice doesn't work, because he doesn't fear God and he doesn't care about people. And because she's a widow, by the way, and Jesus has set this up intentionally, she doesn't have the resources to bribe him. She doesn't even have the resources to bribe him, because in that culture, it would have been that would have been a valid way of potentially swaying a judge who didn't fear God, didn't have any care for people. So in other words, he's open to a bribe, but that's not an option for her. It's not an option for her, because this judge doesn't care. There is nothing inside this judge to appeal to his sense of honor. He has no honor at all. She plays the only card she can. The only card she has is to continually pester this guy, continually go after him, continually day in and day out go before his court and just get after him for justice, go after him for justice. And guess what? Culturally, by the way, this could not have been a story about a man. Because of the chivalry of the ancient Near East, if a man had been involved in this situation, he would have been beaten, probably thrown in jail. The judge could have done a number of things. But because it's a woman, and because of the chivalry of the time, he has to allow her to continue to pester him. okay? And hey, that's a cultural thing. Don't get on, okay? Just don't get upset with me. That's just a cultural thing, right? That's the reality of the story as it's told. And that she's got no other recourse but to bother this man. And finally, what happens? He relents and gives her justice, whatever it is. Because there's more at stake when we persist in our prayers than the situation or the circumstance that we see. Okay? Here's how Jesus interprets this next part of the story. Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he, this man who didn't fear God, this person who had no compassion for another human being, who had no honor, who hadn't been bribed, rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him, listen to that, day and night. Day and night. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Now listen, that's a great summary. The very last sentence, I don't know about you, is kind of jolting. It's absolutely jolting in light of the story that Jesus has just told. That we give up praying constantly to God and we give up asking him for things that are really important to us. And if we do that long enough and if we persist in just saying, you know, God doesn't care. God doesn't answer the way I want. God isn't interested. God's not part of the picture anymore. The more that we feel the resistance of not getting our prayers answered the way we think they should, or we just offer up a quick one, expect God to take care of it right then and there because we put a quarter in the slot. I've paid for the situation. You know, the candy bar should come out the way I want it and when I want it. And Jesus even implies that the longer we do that, the more we get frustrated with the way that our prayer lives are and the way we don't feel it's answered the way we want it. Jesus is saying people will start to walk away even from their faith. Because the dynamic relationship that we build with God, which is a dynamic relationship built with prayer, prayer starts becoming an empty vessel in our lives. It just becomes a rhetoric. It just becomes a rote kind of memory system that isn't heartfelt, isn't connected, isn't part of a vital relationship. And over time, that faith gets cold, that faith gets hard, the faith gets cemented, and it gets to a point where eventually we say, why do we even bother to pray anymore? Because God's not listening. God's not hearing. God's not answering like I want. I don't see the answers like I want them. And that's where we sit. Now I find it very interesting, and again, this is in the Greek when Jesus says, I tell you he will grant justice to them quickly. The implication in that text right there means that you're going to plead with God day and night, however long. If it's so important to you, that's going to be a constant prayer and a constant ask when it comes to God. When God does decide to answer, however he decides to answer, it will be quick. It will be quick. How important is it for you to let God know what is most important in your life? The thing that breaks your heart the most. The situation that you grieve over the most. How important do you think God wants to hear from you about that? Now, Jesus introduces a principle in this last section that I want to talk about a little bit today. And I think it's a really important principle. The rabbis of the time had a teaching method. And the teaching method was this, that they would go from the lesser to the greater. Okay? And this is what Jesus is doing in this particular. He's using a rabbinical teaching method to stress something to his disciples. Jesus said, you know, this man who doesn't fear God, who has no care for people, that, you know, the two things that you would think are really important, right? And by the way, let's pause for a minute. There's an echo when we see fear God and care for people. There's an echo here that Jesus is reminding his disciples about. Earlier on in the Gospels, you remember, there was a man that came up to Jesus and said, by the way, Jesus, what is the most important commandment in the Bible? What is the most important commandment? And Jesus just didn't give one, right? He said, the most important commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. That it wasn't just the one, it was both. That's the echo in this parable, is that Jesus is demonstrating a person in power, in authority, who holds justice in their hands. And the justice over someone who is weak, has no other recourse in culture or society, and is holding all the cards, all the power, and yet doesn't love God and doesn't love others. What else is there other than love for yourself? And we know where that gets us, right? If it's just me and no one else. So the echo here is the great commandment, which is a part of our mission statement, right? Like to love God, to love others, and to change the world, that addition system, that if we love God and if we love others, the world will change. The world will change. Okay? So that's the thing that's going on here. And Jesus is saying, if this man who doesn't love God, doesn't care for people, if he over time is going to render a just decision, the principle is this: how much more will your heavenly Father? How much more will your heavenly Father? If you look at the injustice in the world and you stop praying for it, how much more does God want to see that corrected? If there's a situation in your life, a relationship in your life, if, you know, something that you're a brother, a sister, a son, a daughter that you stop praying for, how much more? If there's other people that come around and show you the love of God, how much more? See, to persevere in prayer is to always ask yourself the question, how much more does God want to do in this situation? How much more? See, if you're never convinced that God wants more, or God wants to do more, or God wants to answer more, or God wants to work more, or God wants to demonstrate his power more, you will stop praying. If you think this is the end of the road, if this is the end of the line, or God doesn't care, or anything like that, you've lost, you won't be able to persevere in prayer, because you have forgotten the fact that God is a God who wants much more. But we have trouble identifying or seeing what the much more is. How much more? How much more will God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us, who cares about us, has mercy on us, has compassion about us, who is there in every situation, every circumstances, even though we may not always feel him there, how much more does God care? How much more? So this is the key principle that's coming out of this passage. This is the thing that Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. There are going to be times that you're going to suffer. There are going to be times you're going to be persecuted. There's going to be times where it's going to appear that the darkness is overtaking the world. There's going to be times where you're going to wonder, you know, and you're going to forget about what it is that we had together when we were walking together, and I was here presently with you, and I'm going to be gone, and all of a sudden you're going to say, you know, is it worth it anymore? Ask yourself, how much more does God want to do in this situation? How much more does God want to do in this situation? You know, you may be praying for someone's health, for instance. And maybe the answer to that prayer doesn't work out the way you think it should. And maybe it's difficult, maybe it's hard, maybe it grieves you to a certain degree. But how much more was God able to show up and be present in the situation because of the way it turned out? And the glory of God was demonstrated to people because of that. You always have to ask yourself, how much more is God doing in this? How much more is God showing up in this? How much more are we seeing an answer to the things that concern the heart of God? That is not an easy thing to ask yourself when you're facing something that you desperately want God to answer. And let me push this even further. The more serious the prayer, the more determined your answer should be from God. Is that not true? The more serious the prayer request, the more sure you are of how God needs to answer it for you. What if God has something different in mind? What if? And we miss it totally. And what if God's glory shines through that situation and so many more people learn about God? So many more people experience something about God. Isn't that a fair question to ask? That is an extremely hard question to ask. That is not in any way meant to be easy. It's not in any way meant to be cheap. It's not in any way meant to slight what you may be going through. But how many of us have given up praying about something that's really important to us because we're not getting the answer we think we need to get? Okay? Here are the four things I want to give us. How much more does God want to? That I think you need to ask yourself when it comes to praying continually. How much more, number one, does God want to change it? How much more does God want to change it? Maybe it's a situation that God wants to do something incredible. But when we come to God, that's one of the things we need to be asking. God, change the situation, change the circumstances, change the relationship, change, the trajectory of this life, change what is happening, change what is happening in our world, change what is going on, all of that kind of stuff. That's one of the prayers of perseverance. I believe that God in some way wants to change this. I'm not sure how, but that's one of the things that I need to pray about. Secondly of all, bless it. How much does God want to bless it? How much more does God want to bless it? Give it legs that it doesn't have. How much more does God want to bless it? Now, those are the situations, those are the answers we love to get. Okay? God, here's the difficulty. Thank you for taking care of it. Thank you for managing it. Thank you for, changing it for the better. And to bless it is to say, this person needs this. Okay? And we love those answers. But here are the two answers when it comes to perseverance that we don't always appreciate. The third one is this, to grow us through it. God never wastes a circumstance, a situation, an event, even a crisis that isn't meant to grow us in some way. I read this morning that scientists are starting to think that grief is actually a disease. Yeah, I was reading it this morning that there are some that just can't get past grief at all. And they're actually starting to think that there's this kind of psychological thing that happens, a breakdown. And like, I didn't get a chance to read all the article because it was just one of those mornings. Anyway, yeah. But grief's a disease. Many of us miss the lesson in the situation and the circumstance. Because when we ask God for a particular answer, and it's not delivered the way we want it, we think it's a wasted opportunity. We think it's a wasted moment of prayer. We think it's been a waste of time, period. But what if God? And by the way, this just doesn't happen individually. This happens nationally as well. What if the circumstances in our world are a way of God teaching the church something? What if? Are we listening? Are we learning? Are we growing? Are we deepening? Are we being affected by the things that God is trying to teach us? Can we do that? Okay? Here's the last one. Or to demonstrate his glory in it. This is a really tough one. A situation or a circumstance in your life that God wants to demonstrate his glory in it. Now, a lot of you are going to say, you know what? When God answers a prayer in a magnificent way and all that stuff, we give him the credit. That's when he shines his glory the most. But that's not always true. We know there are difficult circumstances, and the faith of individuals is so strong, is so compelling, is so... It's so compelling that his glory shines through in the midst of really difficult situation and circumstances. We know that. But emotionally, we have trouble accepting that. There's moments where our faith in the midst of a difficult situation and circumstance actually is such a witness to others far more than even answered prayer is sometimes, right? Because there's people who would say, how can you continue to believe in God after what you've just experienced? How can you believe God in the midst of what you're going through? And how many times have you heard people say, but didn't God give this to you? Or didn't God do this to you? Or didn't God, or couldn't God have stopped this? You know, we say that all the time. And those are kind of like the eulogies of your prayer life. Do you know that? You want to shut down your prayer life? Those are the questions you start asking. You start asking questions like, God, why me? God, you could have. God, and the list is endless. But you know what? God doesn't want you to stop praying about it. God doesn't want you to just give up. Do you realize that that's part of the relational thing that Jesus is talking about here? That you continue to go to him about the things that are most pressing on your heart and your mind. And never, ever, ever give up. You know why? Because there's always far more at stake than the situation and circumstances before you. So never give up. There's something in your life right now that you've stopped praying for. Why? There's something in your life that you've given up praying about. Why? Is it because you want God to change it and bless it? Or could it be that God's trying to grow you through it? We're trying to demonstrate his glory in it. What if? What if? Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep going. Prayer is such a vital relationship with God. Don't let your faith become weakened because you stop praying for that which is most close to your heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this parable that Jesus uses to kind of stress to his disciples to never give up praying. And Lord, we've all been there. We've stopped praying about something. And at the heart of it, it really means that we've doubted that God's even listening anymore. But Jesus tells a simple parable to remind his disciples that those very things that are most pressing to them, or should be those very things, that they continually go to their Father about. How much more? What a question to ask when we're caught in a situation and we ask ourselves, how much more does God want to do as we continue to go to him day and night? It's like the Apostle Paul who said to pray without ceasing. And Lord, I don't think that's was meant to be to pray every second of the day, but that was a prayer about persevering and not giving up when it comes to prayer. Lord, let us not give up. Let us keep going and be reminded of the power that we have to petition our Heavenly Father for the things that concern us most. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.